This is Alive with Joseph.
Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. You know, there are things that the kingdom of God thrives in, and we also have things that are fundamental or foundational. And all of these things are, we also have things that are supplementary. We have those that are fundamental or foundational. We also have the ones that are supplementary. Now, the ones that are supplementary are the things that God has given to you and I, which are the principles and revelational thoughts on how you and I can take advantage of the kingdom of God to better our lives here on the earth. Now, for the things that are foundational or fundamental, it is only one, and it is called, the mystery of godliness. We have been looking at that in all our Wednesday services, and I'm going to close it tonight, you know, on this note. So we'll be looking tonight what I title, The Mystery of Godliness, building up from where we started, you know, on. Pastor Cordelia has been teaching on that, and also Sean taught on it when, you know, he taught 3 weeks ago. So I'm going to add to it, and we're going to, you know, strengthen our faith. So we're looking at the mystery or the power of godliness for maximum impact. The power of godliness for maximum impact. Now understand that mysteries are not hidden from us. They are hidden for us. And also understand that the mysteries are truths and revelations that has been concealed in the Old Testament and has been revealed to you and I in the New Covenant. That is, in the Old Covenant, they may have enjoyed it. Those who lived in the days of the Old Covenant, they may have enjoyed it in one way or another, but they didn't really have proper light into the subject matter. But when Christ came to us, we are not just enjoying it. When he came to the church doesn't just enjoy it. The church also have revelation to those mysteries. We have revelation to those mysteries. And the Apostle Paul, speaking to us concerning mysteries, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, he said, now we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God is destined for our glory before time began. Now, he said, God, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden, that God had destined for our glory before time began. So God concealed it and puts it in plain view so that you and I can search it out, which in turn, it becomes for our glory. In turn, it is for our glory. It is for our own glory. And one of the things that happens, you know, in the mystery of godliness is it enables us to partake in his holiness. That is, through it, you and I can bask in the glory of his sanctification. We are able to align our lives with the Son of Righteousness. We're able to align our lives with the Son of Righteousness. You know, one of the greatest ways to please God is to live with the consciousness of the demands of heaven. It's for you and I to live with the consciousness of the demands of heaven. And the good news is this, friends. Heaven is real, and the demands, they remain unbreakable. The demands remain unbreakable. The demand also is not impossible. Why? Because God never makes impossible demands on his people. He never makes impossible demands on his people. Actually, the scripture says, Jesus speaking, he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we're going to continue, you know, on that this evening, understanding, you know, the power of godliness for maximum impact. Now, let's see where that phrase was used. In what context was it used, and how this matters in our life today, particularly in the generation that we are in right now, that is full of all kinds of lawlessness, full of all kinds of iniquity, wickedness, and sin. Now, our world keeps getting darker and darker. Our world keeps getting darker and darker. Now, what the world is today was not what it was in the 70s. And what the world is today is not going to be what it will be in the next 10 years. Our world will keep getting darker and darker. That is why God has left the church on the planet Earth, so that the church can be the light that is still shining in the midst of darkness. The scripture says the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it. So the church is that light that continues to shine in darkness, and the darkness cannot handle it. The darkness cannot stop the light of the church to continue to shine. Even the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah chapter 60 that darkness will cover the earth, gross darkness the people. So the Bible has made it clear, darkness will cover the earth, gross darkness the people. But it says that God will become the light that shines over us. Now, the darkness we're talking about there, or the darkness that, you know, Isaiah chapter 60 talks about, he's not talking about, you know, the darkness that it's, and that has to do with load shedding or Eskom load shedding. The darkness there is the darkness of iniquity. When the Bible said darkness will cover the earth, gross darkness the people, the Bible is talking about the darkness of iniquity. The Bible is talking about the darkness of wickedness. The Bible is talking about the darkness of evil, the darkness of sin, and the judgment thereof. That's what the Bible is referring to in Isaiah chapter 60. So what that simply means is iniquity and lawlessness will keep multiplying. It will keep multiplying, and it will keep getting, you know, updated. It will be updated as wickedness continue to grow. It will be updated from time to time, from time to time. And the more it is updated, the more demand will be placed on the light of the believer to shine. The more darker it gets, the more demand is put on your light to shine. Because if you do not shine, if you're not careful, the darkness may end up swallowing you. The darkness may end up consuming you. The darkness may end up, you know, enveloping you. So that is why the darker it gets, the demand is placed on you and I to continue to be light that shines wherever we find ourselves. And I pray for you, may your light shine in the name of Jesus. I say, may your light shine in the name of Jesus. I declare over you tonight, may your light shine in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise if you believe that tonight. So we'll be looking at the power of godliness for maximum impact. And also we'll look at the mystery of lawlessness, because they are both mysteries. They are both mysteries that are shown to us in scriptures, and they are parallel on the face of the earth today. That is, on the earth today, we have the mystery of godliness and also the mystery of lawlessness. And if the believer is not watchful and the believer does not stay within the confines of the truth of the gospel, the believer will be caught up with the mystery of lawlessness. The believer will be caught up with the mystery of lawlessness. Now, this is to say, if you and I must be sincere with ourselves, you begin to notice as well that as believers, particularly if you have been saved for some time, one of the things you will notice is that some things that convinced you or convicted you, that convicted you some years ago, you are now becoming numb towards them because of the happenings in our world. You're not becoming numb towards them. If you've been born again for some time, you can attest to that or testify to that. That you are now also beginning to see believers are beginning to excuse them. Now, in the days when I got born again, it was difficult for you to find a Christian go to social media, criticize their pastor. Why? Because it was it that the pastor was a god? No. What? Because of honor. We believe that God's servant was God's mouthpiece, you know, towards our life, and not because that they are special people, but God's election is on them. Why? We saw in scriptures, David said, God forbid me say anything against Saul. Inasmuch as Saul was fallen, he is still the anointed of the Lord. Even when, you know, someone, when Saul died and a guy came to boast to Saul, to David, that I killed Saul, you know, David killed him. He said, how dare you touch the anointed of the Lord? Now, am I saying that, you know, men of God should be worshipped? No. But I'm just trying to explain to you, in the world we live in today, that things continue to get darker and darker, and in the world we live in today, it is becoming, you know, things that we used to be convicted of, we are numb. We are becoming numb towards them. We are becoming numb towards. I give you some more example. You know, so many years ago, let's say in the 80s, when you see, it was difficult to see a man or woman, you know, removing their shirts in a movie. It was very difficult. When you see that, everybody cringes. You're like, you know, you're hiding your face, like, you know, you're trying to look for somewhere to hide. You know, you're wondering, you know, what's going on here. You know, at least where I came from, I don't know about your society, but where I came from, it was completely strange. You know, with my father's box TV that, you know, he used to lock with padlock, you know. The moment you get to watch it, at least, you know, when you, it wasn't even heard of. You can't even, everything I saw on TV was news. The best was Tales by Moonlight, where, you know, they gather children and they're telling them stories. Now, when by mistake you're watching Jackie Chan and movie and they just tear the shirt, hey, you say, now, but in the times we live in right now, practically on your timeline, if you open your timeline right now, I can guarantee you, you'll find a naked woman. Even including some of you seated here, you've posted yourself naked. All in the name of summer body. Yeah. It was completely, you know, it was unheard of. But as it is right now, people post themselves naked, not even minding their children, seeing them naked with their underwear. So we're becoming the mystery of lawlessness. We're becoming desensitized. And it is the agenda of hell, so that the believer will not live out his full potential, so that we will not shine as light in the midst of darkness. Now, the kids born in this time, they won't even understand what I'm talking about. You know, starting from the millennials, the Gen Zs, you know, the Gen Alphas, the beta generations, they won't even know what I'm talking about. They won't understand what I'm talking about. It's strange to them. And the generation coming after them is going to be strange to them as well. Some of the things that we're seeing today, you know, and when you talk about them, they'll say, no, you know, it will sound strange to them. You know, some of you right now, you're shocked because, you know, you're wondering, you go to your timeline, you can't even avoid it. You can't, even if you want to. You cannot, even if you want to. You cannot. You don't have to solicit for it. As long as you have access in the social media space, you are bound to see things you ought not to see. Even some people right now on your WhatsApp walls, you can see some of the things that are going on there. Now, that is the mystery of lawlessness at work in our world today. And it's not going to get better. It is only going to get darker and darker. And the only answer to this darkness will be the mystery of godliness that is at work in the Church of Jesus Christ. Let's give the Lord praise tonight. Hallelujah. Please, let's give the Lord praise tonight. So go with me to the book of 1 Timothy, where those statements was mentioned. Let's examine it, and we are done for tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 3, I look at verse 14 to 15, NIV translation. It says, although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you this instruction so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household. Did you see that? They say, I'm writing it in the event where I delay. Now, this is in the New Testament. This is in the New Testament. This is one of the Pauline letters to the Church of Jesus Christ. This is in the New Testament. He was writing to his spiritual son Timothy in terms of, because Timothy was pastoring one of the churches that he started, and he's giving him instruction on how to, you know, manage the church so that you ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of the truth. The Church of Jesus Christ is the church of the living God. Number one, it is the pillar and the foundation of the truth. The pillar and the foundation of the truth. So what this scripture is showing you and I here is that there is nature and there is also nurture. There is nature, there is nurture. This means that the life you and I have received has a character. It has a character. The same way those who are in the military, there is a way they ought to behave. Apparently, I don't know how true it is, but the guys in the military can confirm this or dispute it. It is said that in the military, you can't have beards the way I have beards. Is that true, Mr. M? Where's Mr. M? Is that true? That you can't have the kind of beards in the military? You can't keep beers the way I keep beers. Can you imagine? So that's how you ought to behave. Yeah, that's how you ought to behave. That's in the military. That's how you ought to behave. Whether you like beers or not, whether it's genetic or not, it doesn't consign them. You have to shave clean. So that means there are conducts even in the natural things. So if I'm to be in the military right now, I will either choose to serve or keep my beers. I must choose one. If I want to serve, I cannot keep the beers. If I must keep the beers, then I must not come near them. Amen. Hallelujah. Because there is nature and there is nurture. And this means that the life that you and I have received has a character. The life we have received is a nature and it has a character. It is a nature and it has a character. The challenge we face today is that is, you know, the challenge we're having right now is the pundits of grace, the grace boys, you know, they have only overemphasized on the nature aspect of life that we have received. The nature aspect of life we have received has been overemphasized, which is what Christ has done on the inside of us, which is very true because I am a firm believer of what Jesus has done on the inside of us. And I preach it unedited that the death of Jesus has guaranteed not just, you know, my sins being forgiven, past, present is forgiven, even future is taken care of. I believe in that. I believe in what Jesus has done for us. And I'll forever preach what Jesus has done on the inside of us, unedited, undiluted. Oh, but it gives people license to sin. Well, you, nobody needs any license to sin. What Jesus has done is perfect for time and for eternity. But one of the things, you know, that you and I must understand is, in as much as that is important, we must also separate nature from nurture. We must separate nature from nurture. In as much as it is important for you and I to know what Christ has done for us and know what he has done on the inside of us, it will be impossible for you to live your full potential as the redeemed of the Lord if you do not know what Christ has done on the inside of you. If you don't know, understand the nature you have received, you cannot live your full potential as the redeemed of the Lord. In as much as that is very true, you must also understand that we need to separate nature from nurture, because your nature as a believer is powerful, but what determines your experience in life is your nurture. Your nature as a believer is powerful. What determines your experience is nurture. So as a believer, what determines what you enjoy, how far you go, what life hands over to you is your nurture. Yes, we have received the grace of God on the inside of us. Yes, we have the nature of righteousness on the inside of us. Yet, there is still a nurture that is necessary for you and I to be able to manifest our full potential as believers. For us to be able to manifest our full potentials as Christians. So the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, he said, I am writing you all of this so that you will know how you ought to conduct yourself. You will know how to conduct yourself. The King James Version says this way, that you may know how thou ought to behave. How thou ought to behave. So there is a way we ought to behave as Christians. And the Apostle Paul comes to us in the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 verse 24. He writes, I read the Good News Translation. He says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have put to death their human nature with all his passions and desires. Now this was after writing down a list of things which were the works of the flesh. When you read the book of Galatians chapter 6, you will find them there. Now, when it gets to that verse, which, you know, we will read very shortly, you will notice that he is not trying to introduce behavioral modification. That is what religion has introduced, behavioral modification. The life that we have received has nothing to do with behavioral modification, in as much as it will translate in our behavior being modified. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Amen. So the Apostle Paul was not trying to introduce morality and legalism, because morality and legalism does not take anyone to heaven. Morality never equates to salvation. Because you can be a morally upright person, which means you keep the codes of the law, and yet you don't have the life of Christ on your inside. Because what takes you from darkness into the kingdom of his dear son is you believe. You believe. You believe in your heart. You confess with your mouth. It takes you from darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Listen, no one becomes a partaker of the life of Christ because of his or her conduct. Nobody got born again because of his or her conduct. We didn't get born again because of our conduct. The same way, no human is in sin today because of their conduct. We were all born into sin by what Adam did. But let's observe what he said there. He says, there is a way you ought to behave. Now, don't fall into the trap of just behavioral modification. He's simply saying to you and I that don't try to be a better person without you understanding the foundation of this thing. without understanding the foundation of this thing. Don't try to be a better person without understanding the foundation of this thing. Because in this world of darkness in which you and I are living today, no matter how hard you try to modify your character, without the life of Christ at work in you, it will not work. It's just a matter of time before you find things catching up with you. You try to do anything without the life of Jesus, it will not work. It will not work. Hallelujah. Haven't you seen yourself as a believer? You know, you do something sometimes that even shock you yourself. You wonder, how did I get here? That is telling you that, you know, the flesh still has voice. And you and I cannot live above the flesh without the help of Jesus Christ, without the life of Christ that is on the inside of us. And particularly in our generation, where everyone who is in our generation right now is having to deal and contend with the spirit of lust in our generation right now. That is the major spirit at work right now. Everyone, except if you're not telling yourself the truth, everyone is having to deal and contend with the spirit of lust. Whether we speak about it or we do not talk about it, it is what every single human being who has breath in their lungs has to deal with in the times in which we live in. And the danger with these things is that it has no respect for your position. It has no respect for your Christian title. It has no respect, you know, for your longevity in the faith. It has no respect for how long you've been born again. How long you've been born again is irrelevant when it comes to the spirit of lust that we're contending with. And that is why the Bible calls it mystery. It's a mystery of lawlessness. It's a mystery of lawlessness. That is why if you do not guard yourself, after a while, you will find yourself, you know, straying. Before you know it, you've gone very far. You cannot come back. Because it's a mystery. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. And one of the ways to subdue this is consistent prayer. Because the more you stay in the presence of God in the place of prayer, the more the flesh is subdued. Because if the flesh is not subdued with the bombardment of darkness in our time, it's just a matter of time before a well-meaning believer stop being a believer. They might still be coming to church. They might still be shouting, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yes, bless you, bless you. But they've walked away from Jesus. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody in some way and somehow will taste of this evil and corruption that is in the world through lust. And the Apostle Peter puts it this way. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this you might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There is a corruption in the world right now, my friend. There's a corruption. You can't even get into the, you know, you can't, there are spaces you can't get into right now in our world. You really need to guard your heart. For example, you go to the gym, almost everybody's naked in that environment. You need to really keep yourself sane. The spirit of seduction everywhere. Your workplaces. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. And am I saying that it's going to get better? No, my friend. It's going to get worse. You better prepare yourself for it. That is why you must anchor yourself in scriptures. You must anchor yourself. Am I saying that from time to time you will not be tempted? You will be tempted. But you must anchor yourself in scriptures. Hallelujah. So Paul said here, Peter said here, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There is a corruption in the world. So let's read 1 Timothy. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. I want all of us to read it together. You that is online as well, I want you to read with us. It will be on your screen right now. Let's read it together, everybody. At the count of three. I think it's on the screen. Thank you so much. At the count of three. 1, 2, 3, go. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. He said, without controversy, without argument, great is the mystery of godliness. Inasmuch as the mystery of lawlessness is prevailing, he said, the mystery of godliness is greater. The mystery of godliness is great. I say great is the mystery of God. Without any argument, darkness can never overcome light. Listen, my friend, no matter how dark it gets, the believer must consistently shine, because the light shines in darkness and deep darkness cannot handle it. So great is the mystery of godliness. He also now gives us the theology behind the mystery of godliness. What is the theology behind it? Because if you want a doctrinal statement around the mystery of godliness, he gives it to us. In that same scripture, he gives us the theological statement, the doctrinal statement of the mystery of godliness. He listed, he says, number one, God was manifest in the flesh. That is, all the potential and the possibilities of God were manifested in the flesh by the man, Jesus Christ. What that is also saying to you and I is that, you know, mortal man or mortal men like you and I, we can manifest all of God's potentials and possibilities in our flesh. He said God was manifested in the flesh. Mortals like you and I, we can manifest all of heaven's potential and possibilities in our flesh. Are you understanding me tonight? Remember, in the Old Testament, if flesh saw God, flesh will die instanter. So the Apostle Paul now comes to you and I and says to us that, you know, the things that were impossible for them in the Old Testament, now that you, that was also concealed to them in the Old Testament, now it is possible for you and I in the New Testament. So the first thing you should know about the mystery of godliness is, now in the new covenant, in his glory, in his power, in his full potential, we can manifest all of God. We can manifest all of God. So flesh can manifest God. Number two, he now said justified in the spirit, which means your justification was a spiritual thing. What is justification? Justification simply means you are declared not guilty. You are declared not guilty. What does that mean? It means that your spirit is justified before God. And justified means you are discharged and acquitted. There is no record. You are justified. Thunder, I am justified. Thunder loud and clear, I am justified. There is no record. It is God treating you as though your sin never happened. Now, based on what has happened in your spirit, irrespective of what is happening in your environment, you can bring your body under subjection. You can, because your spirit is justified before God. Your flesh may have committed sin before God, your spirit is justified. So the theology of godliness is extremely important, because if you do not understand the theology of godliness, what you will be doing is you will be involved in behavioral modification, and this will not work. Understand that in Christ, every character development must be based on what you know that Jesus has done, and that what you are doing does not justify you. So this is different between consecration and legalism. In legalism, you are trying to use what you do to earn justification. But in consecration, because God calls us to a life of consecration, he calls the believer to a life of consecration. In consecration, you know that you are justified before God, and your consecration is your response to this justification. Your consecration is a response. Your consecration is a response. The believer responds to the justification of God by consecration. That God expects you and I to consecrate ourselves. And number three, he said, seen of angels. Number four, preached unto Gentiles. Number five, believed on in the world. Number six, received up into glory. Go with me to that same scripture again, quickly. Let's look at something quickly. I'm just underlining my scripture. He said, beyond all questions, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. Beyond all questions, he says, beyond every doubt, beyond every controversy, he says, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. Hear this, friends. True godliness springs from a revelation and not a decision. True godliness, it flows from a revelation. It flows from a revelation that now that I'm in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now I'm in Christ. And based on that revelation, godliness has to flow. The challenge is many people are still trying to use decision when it comes to true godliness, and they are frustrated. They are failing. Hear me, friends. If this revelation is not in your heart, it will be a continuous cycle of a little victory today over sin, and a little here, a little victory today, you fall tomorrow, a little victory today, you fall tomorrow. It will just be a roller coaster journey, because it is not flowing from revelation. It is flowing from decision, rather. Not flowing from revelation. It is flowing from decisions. Not flowing from revelation, but from decision. Not flowing from revelation. And this is what happens. When you keep experiencing victory and failure, Satan will start condemning you and start telling you that you don't have what it takes to walk in victory. And that, and after a while, your heart becomes weary. Guess what happens? You drop the fight. And when you drop the fight to stand in holiness that God has prepared for you and I, or you will, before you know it, you start losing grounds. You start losing grounds. You start losing ground. The way many believers start losing ground. That is why you wonder, if someone was a believer today, after 2 years, they're no longer a believer. They're a believer. They are also involved in Inyanga practices. You're wondering, what salvation did you receive? The same way the Apostle Paul asked the disciples, he said, what salvation did you receive? What salvation did you receive? Because what kind of salvation have you received? Was it that they never got born again? Some probably are not even born again. Some has never had an encounter with Jesus. So that's why you see, a believer, it's practically, you put a believer side by side with an unbeliever, there's no difference. I'm serious. You don't need to just go to social media. You see there now. Don't you people are doing as if, you know. Side by side, you see, there's no difference. You ask yourself, are you truly a Christian? Because you know, it's like you know, seeing a soldier behaving like a civilian. There are things soldiers will not do. It's not flowing out of decision now, it's flowing out of revelation. The revelation of knowing that, hey, who I am as a soldier. I'm yet to see a soldier eating on the street. The same way you see taxi drivers, you know, open pub and they are chowing anyhow. I'm yet to see a soldier park their car and they are eating anyhow. Because he knows who he is. He's flowing out of revelation of who he is. He knows once he's wearing that uniform, he's a soldier. Even when he's not wearing the uniform, he's still a soldier. Because the discipline has been cultivated by revelation. Give Jesus praise tonight. Hallelujah. As we close, Romans chapter 8. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. So through Christ Jesus, there is a law of the Spirit that gives life. And when this law kicks in, it sets you free from the law of sin and death that is in the world. There is a life, there is a law of the Spirit who gives life. When this law kicks in, it sets you and I free from the law of sin and death. And do you know, friends, that freedom is only experienced when it is known. Which means, there can be freedom available, but if it is not, you may not experience it because you don't know it. There may be freedom available. It is not an experience in your life because you don't know that it is there. That through Jesus Christ, or through what Christ has done, he has set you and I free from the law of sin and death. But do you know that many believers are still under the law of sin and death? Am I saying that you're not falling to sin? You will fall into sin. Here and there. And that is where Pastor Collier talks about repentance. That's where you come and bring repentance to the Lord. and receive forgiveness and cleanse yourself by the blood of Jesus. In event where you struggle to bring repentance to the Lord, before the Lord, and you just continue as normal, it means that your conscience is dead towards the things of God. Now, the law of sin, many believers are still under the law of sin and death. Now, it is not because that law has the capacity to hold them down, but simply because they don't have the light on how to walk in the liberty that Christ Jesus has given to them. I repeat that statement. It is not that the law of sin and death has the capacity to hold the believer down. The challenge is the believer does not have the light on how to walk in the liberty that Jesus Christ has given to them. And I pray for you that by the reason of light that have been coming to you through this series, I prophesy, may you walk in dominion over the law of sin and death in the name of Jesus. And this is what Jesus is doing now in response to the kind of church he is coming for. The Bible says he's coming for a church that, according to Ephesians chapter 5 verse 27, that he might present him to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that he should be holy without blemish. So Jesus is washing his bride, the church, with his word, that he may present the church, his bride, to himself without spot and without any wrinkle. So the law of the spirit of life that is at work on you, on your inside, is able to make you without spot and wrinkle. The law is already on your inside by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is on your inside, except if you're not born again. Except if you're not genuinely born again. Because we have too many people seated in our congregations globally. Some have even become taking up positions as pastors, and yet they are not born again. They have just switched their white garment for a suit. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh. Let's understand that quickly with 1 minute. The flesh is not necessarily the human body. In as much as we use it for discussion, it's not necessarily human, but the flesh is the unrenewed mind. But this unrenewed mind, which is the real flesh, using the human body for expression, the Bible says Jesus condemned that sin in the flesh. So this human body can also become an expression of the fullness of God and his glory. The same way the flesh can be an expression of the unrenewed mind. The flesh can be two things. It can be an expression of the unrenewed mind. It can also be an expression of the fullness of God and his glory, depending on who you have subjected yourself to. So the Apostle Paul tells us that in flesh Jesus obtained victory over sin. So you too can experience such victory over any form of battle, over sin, in the flesh. And as I said, this is not to say that you will not be tempted, but you and I must learn to put a guard around ourselves, not expose ourselves unnecessarily to things that easily gets us down. And here these two things are going to coexist in your flesh. And it is, you have the possibility for victory over sin. Why? Because Jesus condemned sin in the flesh. Number two, because of your history and exposure and upbringing, the things you have been exposed to before you got born again, there are certain things that you are still predisposed to. You're still, you know, because of what you, none of us were born again in our mother's womb. There are things that you used to do before you got born again. You're still, you know, predisposed. How is it predisposed to them? You're still exposed to them. So those things from time to time, anger, from time to time, lying, from time to time, manipulation, getting into a business deal with brothers in the house and stealing their money, and you change church from time to time. So you're from time to time, but what happens? Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. So if, when you got born again, after 5 years, we're still seeing the volcanic anger you carried when you got born again. 5 years after, the anger has not even just, it's not only there, it has increased. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. It's either you have met the Savior and refused to allow the life of Jesus in you to change you, or you have not met the Savior. You got born again, you used to steal. 5 years down the line, you're still stealing. You didn't meet the Savior. Because there are things that the life of Christ in you. That is why we say, the things I used to do, I do them no more. Before you got born again, you used to swim in alcohol. But now that you're born again, 5 years later, 10 years later, you're still swimming in it. In fact, now you have upgraded. It has become holy wine. You have upgraded. You have upgraded yourself. You know, you now start saying, Paul said we should take a little wine for the stomach. My friend, what little wine for your stomach? Do you have stomach problem? So that explains why some believers are not walking in the fullness of what Jesus has died for. So today they have a little victory, tomorrow a little fall. A little victory, a little fall. A little victory, a little fall. Because we're dealing with a mystery. And the only way we can overcome the mystery of lawlessness is through the mystery of godliness. Allowing the life of Jesus that has come on the inside of us to walk us, not behavioral modification, but to walk us in true holiness and righteousness. That I can look back 10 years ago. There are things that used to mess me up, but now, thanks be to God, I'm now an overcomer. I now live victoriously over those things. That when you place me side by side with an unbeliever, there definitely must be a difference. You can know that this one is born again. I don't have to carry a Bible. No. I don't have to answer a Christian named Joseph or a Bible named Joseph. Just you place me side by side. By you coming close to me, you can literally feel the presence of God that I carry. Not that it's making people fall. No. You know, when you come, I don't know if you ever, when you come close to someone who is heavily demonic, I personally feel it. I can say, the number one, people who are heavily demonic, they have a smell. It has nothing to do with body odor. No. They have a smell because demons are foul spirits. The same way you come in contact with a believer. Some years ago, when we first moved to our territory, where we're living now, our next door neighbor, a white guy, as we just greeted, he just said, "You pray so much." That's how he just, you know, said, "When I shook your hands, there was something different." He said, "Are you an intercessor?" I said, "Oh, my life is prayer." He said, "That explains it." He said, my neighbor. That must be it. I didn't tell her I'm a prayer warrior. I didn't wear a t-shirt saying, you know, prayer warrior. No. Because the life of God in me finds expression. When that life finds expression, even when they gang up against you, they fail. Because the life of God in you finds that you may not know what they have planned, but the life of God in you, Ayana Maradaya, who is he that speaks and it comes to pass when the Lord has not approved it? The life of God in you. Do you know why many believers are victims of witches? Because the life of God in them is not finding expression. I always say, I tell you that the witch that will touch me has not been born. Forgive me, I'm not boasting. Please, but I'm telling you reality, the witch that will touch me has not been born. Because the life of God in me will not allow it. Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus praise. Amen. So one of the challenges we have as believers is that we do not train ourselves unto godliness. As you're standing, I say this. Inasmuch as we have accepted what the word of God says about us, we have not trained ourselves to become what the word of God says about us. The same way in the natural, You train yourself to become. You want to be a teacher? You train yourself to become. How do you do that? You go to teacher training colleges, universities. You want to become a makeup artist? You train yourself to become. You want to be a professional photographer? You train yourself to become. You want to be a doctor? You train yourself to become. And in your day-to-day living, listen, you are what you are today because of the many trainings you have subjected yourself to as a believer. When we do not subject ourselves to the training of God's word, the life of God in us will not find expression. And I pray for us that we'll be a generation that walks in power, that in the days of darkness we live in, that our light will shine in the name of Jesus. Lift your voice tonight. Say, Lord, I yield myself. Lord, I subject myself to your training. Jesus, I subject myself to your training. As we close, Lord, I yield myself.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you were blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Ngokocha. Till next time, God bless.